Shell Taylor, clinical psychologist. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thanks,
hey,
Jules.
Hey, Shell.
Hey, Jim.
So good
thanks
to see you.
Well, you guys are old mates, aren't you?
Yeah, we know each other from back at the Yule Park days. Yeah.
We do.
And Shell does some amazing work, and she had a, brings in her therapy dogs for the kids, and it's just gorgeous, the work that you do.
Oh, thanks so much, Tim.
Now, you do some pretty amazing work, and Tim and I were both talking before you got here. We've both got toddlers.
Yes.
Tim's got a 2-year-old. I've got an 18-month child. Now, how do we communicate with them when they can't quite talk back? Like, it's hard to know if you're getting through to them. Like, sometimes you say no, or don't do that, or don't touch that electrical cord that's over there that you've just managed to get your hands on. How do you get through to them when they can't talk back?
Yes.
I think it's a really important topic to kind of bring up. And there's a lot of things you can do. And it really, the communication and the communication with your toddler starts from the moment of conception, really.
Yeah.
But particularly from birth onwards when you, you know, you have them there in your arms and you're paying attention to the signals that they're giving you and cues. And really what that's doing is developing a concept we call attunement, which is where you're really able to kind of read what's going on for your child and kind of can understand the way that they're communicating to you the best they can. So probably the first thing I'd say is really try and look at and listen to the non-verbals of your child.
Okay.
You know, and look, when it comes to saying no and things like that, you know, there are going to be moments where your toddlers, because of the developmental stage they're in, are going to be not really wanting to listen, and they're going to want to explore the world, and they don't understand the concept of the danger that you're, you know, a little bit anxious about as they approach that PowerPoint and, you know, or whatever it might be. So I think, you know, being really attuned to your kids is a really important thing. One of the other really important things, though, and I see, I feel like it's slipped a lot for, and not all parents, but for a lot of parents, is actually getting down to our toddler's level. So actually getting down on our knees, getting into eye-to-eye contact, getting up close, but not right up in their space and in their face.
Yep.
You know, and I talked with Jack last time about, you know, popping a hand on their shoulder, gently redirecting, you know, not forceful, not anything like that, but talking the whole time through.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think that's really important too.
That constant communication.
Talking to your kids all the time, right?
Yeah.
And you would have done this with, you know, Toby and Ruby's babies, right?
Yes.
You would have talked to them, narrated the world as it went by.
Yeah.
And don't stop that when they become toddlers. Like, narrating everything is what actually helps language develop.
Absolutely.
Okay. You know, so look, you know, so as you're playing with them, you know, oh, look, I can see that you're trying to put Lego Man's head in T-Rex's mouth, for example. You know, that kind of stuff. So I think narrating with them is really, really important. Play.
Yes.
Playing with your kids is a really amazing way to develop communication. So much of our development occurs in the context of play, and we really take it for granted, I think, as parents, and particularly in today's society where we are so busy, we're often in dual-income households, time is precious and very limited. The idea of actually sitting down and engaging in imaginative play with our kids is sometimes can feel like it's a little bit of an onerous task.
Yeah.
But it's in the process of play that our children develop social skills, that they develop language, that they develop sensory capacities, you know, the ability to understand, interpret their sensory world.
Yeah.
Motor skills, motor development, you know, fine motor skills come in that context of play, building blocks, putting things together, cognition, you know, and emotional regulation.
So would you say, because Ruby doesn't go to childcare because I look after her during the day, so would she be at a bit more of a disadvantage than kids that do go to childcare because they're surrounded by other kids all the time and they do have that play together? Or what would you say there?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, Jules. And it's you know, it sometimes can be a bit contentious, I think.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, there can be the no daycare bandwagon and the daycare bandwagon. The reality is some people are forced to put their kids in daycare.
Of course, because
you know,
you're right, mum and dad both work.
Yeah,
we get
absolutely.
It. Yep.
We do one day a week, and we have sort of noticed since sending him the interactions with the other kids, and he's coming home and starting to do things that we haven't seen him do, but he's obviously picking it up through osmosis through the other kids, which is pretty cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
So I think there are pros and cons like to everything.
Yep.
And there are definitely pros to daycare, like you're saying, Tim. But, you know, if you're spending good quality time with Ruby, you know, you're sitting down, you're playing, you're pointing out, look, there's Buzz Lightyear to tell her that that's, you know, or there's Barbie, let's get Barbie, and you pick Barbie up up and she's developing that language and the capacity to communicate
yep.
through modelling from you. You know, you're playing with her, you're mm. engaging with her, you're, you know, I think that that's perfectly fine. Yeah. And my guess is, you know, in amongst that, you're also exposing her to other friends, children of around the same yes. age or other ages as yep. well. So long as they're getting peer interactions, you know, with other children as well as yourselves, whether they're at daycare or not.
Yeah. And on that play, I just think it's so important. Like last night, Toby had a birthday on the weekend, so he's got all these new toys. And obviously, I'm pretty flat out with everything that's going on. But taking that half an hour before bed last night, I just laid down with him. We played with some of his new cars that he got. And not only is it good for him, it was good for me.
Yeah.
I hadn't felt that relaxed in a little while. And just getting down on his level and just having that interactive play with him was fantastic. So I think, yeah, it works on both ways. Works both ways, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You know, what happens for us, well, what happens for kids in play is, and us, is this activation of our reward neurobiology.
Mm.
So in our brain, there's dopamine that
yep.
gets courses around our brain when we experience things that are pleasurable.
Yeah.
And so when we're engaged in this positive, playful interaction with our children, our dopaminergic and our networks get activated.
Yeah.
And so, and dopamine is actually really regulatory.
Yeah.
So when we talk about regulating kids, And I think I talked once before about counterintuitive parenting practices, and we'll go through, I think we might do a whole segment talking about counterintuitive parenting
yep.
because it's very different to what we would have done traditionally in terms of time out, you know, or taking things away.
Yep.
What we're actually looking at is how do we activate the reward systems in our children to regulate them through
the happiness,
the distress
yep. yeah.
of getting into trouble or doing something wrong or the shame that gets activated. How do we help them move from shame to guilt?
Okay.
You know, so how do we actually regulate them before we come in and correct and redirect them?
Right.
Wow.
That is very interesting. We're just going to put a pin in that for just a moment, yeah. Shell. We are joined by Shell Taylor, clinical psychologist at Blossom Tree Psychology. Talking communicating with toddlers, Shell.
And we are on the edge of our seats.
I think, you know, we were talking before the break about play, and I think when you're playing with your kids, really trying to open up opportunities for communication.
Yeah.
So, you know, I talked before about you might be narrating the play, so something like, you know, look how T-Rex wants to eat the Lego Man, but then you could add a question in with that, like, oh, do you think Lego Man's head's too big for T-Rex's mouth?
Okay.
So then that makes them think, it makes them wonder, but it also encourages them to respond.
Yes.
Do you know, one of the best phrases I teach parents and have been doing now for 20-odd years is the I wonder phrase. So you might know what's going on for your child, but if you're wanting to kind of encourage expression and encourage communication, you can say, I wonder if you feel, I wonder if this, I wonder. Yeah,
okay.
It is beautiful. Kids will tell you when you're wrong.
Yeah.
You know, we do this in therapy all the time. I wonder if you feel angry about that.
Oh
no, I don't feel angry.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, then I wonder what's going on because, you know, your body's telling me you're angry. I can see that your fists are clenched, all of that kind of stuff.
Wow.
Which is really cool.
Can I have your pen, Jules? I need to write that
down. Yeah, you do. Here you go. Start writing it down now. I wonder. That's a good key one.
Yeah, okay. I wonder is just a beautiful phrase, and you can use it with friends, you can use it with your kids. You know, because the other thing it does is it says to your child, I'm thinking about your internal world.
Yeah.
And last time I talked with Jack about our kids needing to feel felt and feel understood.
Yep.
And that's a really lovely expression to allow them to feel understood.
Because they're thinking, okay, they are listening, they're interested, they want to know.
They know mum and dad are engaged with them.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. And Tim, I heard you talking about, you know, playing with Toby before bed and sort of doing that, you know, getting ready for bed process. The other thing that's really, really good for enhancing kids' communication skills is reading. All the studies show us that the more we read to our children, the bigger their vocabulary will be.
How do you, because we've got certain books that we know they're fail-safe.
You got some favourites?
Oh, yeah. Like Where is the Green Sheep and Hello Baby. We know if we read those, she'll be happy. She'll sleep pretty well. How do you, like, because we've got so many books, which is amazing, but she won't sit still for the other books.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get them to sort of just sit down and calm down and sit with you while you're reading? Or is it just let them run around you and you keep reading?
It could be a little bit of both. So yep. It might be that the novel stimuli has activated their stress response system and they've kind of got a little bit worked up and they need to move around to regulate. Because some of us have got movement bodies, like we need to move to kind of feel calm.
Yep.
I would sandwich a new book in between two old favourites.
Yeah, we do that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, favourite book, sandwich book. New book filling.
Yeah.
You know, pop the ham in the middle.
Yeah.
That might be a really good idea. And that's a really lovely way to kind of start to introduce books like Trace Moroney's feeling books.
Oh, okay.
So that you can combine emotional expression and emotional understanding and emotional literacy with reading at night.
Yeah, Toby got a great feelings one for his birthday, and it's all monsters, and it's like, who's hiding? And someone's fading, and who looks angry? Who looks sad? And it's so good.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'll lend you that one. Thank you very much. It might not come back in one piece, just letting you know.
Can I just, one of the things I want to say to parents, though, is don't sweat it. Like, you know, by two, your kids should be starting to have some intelligible conversation.
Yeah.
You know, if they're gesturing and pointing and they're demonstrating frustration that they can't get the words out at two, give it a little bit of time. If you're moving into mid-twos and we're still not getting intelligible conversation, you know, then hit up one of your local speech therapists for an assessment and maybe some intervention.
Okay.
But really don't sweat it. Like, don't sweat mispronunciations.
Okay.
And that's a big one for me, largely because, and this is probably a bit of a personal thing. When we respond to our kids with negativity, you know, they'll keep trying to a point and then they'll just give up, right? And if we're really wanting to encourage communication and expression and using language, we don't want to kind of get it, you know, say to them. So, for example, if they say elephant wrong, we don't want to correct them and say, no, that's not how you say it.
Yeah.
Instead, what you might do, you wouldn't do what my mum did, right? So I couldn't pronounce truck and the word that I used was socially inappropriate.
Yeah.
Right? I thought you say it on air.
Oh, goodness, no way. And so your face, though, Jules, that was classic.
I was like, dumb button.
Talk about activation of stress response. Because my mum was so embarrassed, she, and therefore not in her thinking brain, she would say to me, oh, no, sweetie, that's a big bus. Now, that was really confusing for me later on. Like, you know, trucks are not buses.
Yeah.
No, and buses are not trucks.
Two different kinds of modes of transportation.
What she could have said to me was, yes, that's a truck.
Ah, okay. Yeah, so you just say what the word is.
That's a truck.
Yeah, and they'll eventually grab it.
Absolutely.
Ah, good point. I like that.
I do
so
like
don't
that.
Don't stress if they're not quite saying the words correctly. Yep. But because Toby's two now, so he's starting to express more and saying a lot more words. Because we're a bit worried for a while, but like you said, don't sweat it. It'll come. Keep the conversations going and it'll come.
The worst thing parents can do is compare with each other. And
you do though,
which
don't
is
you?
What every parent does.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And if there are problems, they'll show themselves. They'll be really obvious, you know, when they get to kinder or daycare, it'll get picked up.
Yes.
You know, you'll see it yourselves.
Yeah.
You'll know if there's something not right.
Yeah.
And that's when you start to ask questions.
Wonderful. Shell Taylor, as always.
That was amazing.
Like, just a wealth of knowledge, and we appreciate everything you do for us. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Shell.
If you would like to follow Shell up, I know you've got a very long waiting list, but if you would like to sort out an appointment, you can head to Bloom Psychology.
Blossom Tree Psychology.
Get the wrong one. Blossom Tree Psychology.
Blossom Tree.
Shell Taylor, you are amazing. Thank you for all your insights this morning.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks, Shell.